I just want to thank the speakers. First of all, it was a wonderful session. And I heard recently that the person that tortured Stephen Biko to death recently died in Iraq. And I just want to ask the speakers if they knew a little bit more about that and the role of these former apartheid forces that are playing right now, because as was discussed this morning, occupying powers always help other occupations and the subjection of other populations. And the second question was just about the recent clashes between Hamas and Fatah in Palestine that are directly instigated by the international community and Israel. In fact, I think the one that recently killed 7 Palestinians was begun by these gunmen that had American-made weapons and were not linked to either Fatah or Hamas, so it seems a direct instigation of the violence. And then how, if we can learn from the South African struggle to solve these kind of divides that are being made within the occupied peoples, if there was a similar kind of divide in the South African movement against apartheid.
I have a very fast comment. I'd like to say that the United Church of Canada is now in the forefront of economic actions. So please substitute that for Presbyterians on your next talk.
Well, I was in Johannesburg in 2002 for the World Summit of Sustainable Development, and there were many incidents happened there when I was there. But the one I would like to relate to is, you know, I was going with a South African in a car, and we passed by an open pit mine, and I said, what was this? And he said, well, you know, this used to be the gold and diamond mine before. And I said, well, and then we sort of started talking, and he was really sad. At the end of our conversation, he ended up saying, but you know, all the gold and diamonds are gone. And I didn't know how to respond to that, but then I ended up saying, well, don't worry, it's not gone anywhere. It's still on this planet. So we have to think that globalization has been going for, well, 500 years or whatever. And what is new is only we are just finding out. And we have to address these things in a global context and look for the gold and diamonds that are here in Canada. Thank you.
Thank you. I have not a question, but a series of lessons that I was given or that I heard in Cape Town at a rally that took place in the middle of the war that I just want to pass on to everybody after thanking the speakers for their very wonderful and inspirational presentations. First series of lessons was from one of the speakers from one of the grassroots organizations, and he made 3 points. Number one, don't make maximum sacrifices for minimum gains. Number two, don't negotiate away your rights. And number three, never trust your oppressor. Those were his three lessons. I just wanted to contribute that.
Thank you, and I think we're running out of time, so quickly, Salim, and Yolanda, respond, please.
Well, I just will briefly say that in South Africa, there was a third force, or what we know as third force activity, in relation to, you know, organizations being infiltrated, or certain actions that were taking place that were clearly not being launched by either political party or any others, in relation to day-to-day events on the ground. And so I think in South Africa, it became very clear that the government was engaged in this third force activity as a way of systematically destabilizing the struggle. And so, you know, we definitely have to be aware of that. And I think our leaders and organizations have to be mature enough and sophisticated enough to be able to know when those kinds of actions are being taken. And I mean, those kinds of activities are often, you know, set to create disharmony amongst us, and, you know, often also result in the loss of life or some kind of trauma that is furthered on the people. And so we really have to be critical and see with our third eye, because things are often not what they seem. And that's certainly something that we learned in South Africa. And in fact, you know, those things happen even here in Canada when we talk about, you know, some of the violence that's happening in our communities.
Okay, I really think we need to acknowledge the very important work by the United Church. So let's acknowledge them. I'm sorry I failed to mention that, because it is vital and it's been pointed out to me and I've read about this. It has to be extended, and we need to get other organizations to do similar work, but it's vital. I think that the question of South Africans in Iraq is a very, very important point. I'm not sure about the specific person you mentioned, but I'm very curious to find out more about that. It's very significant if it has happened. But you know, South Africans are the third biggest force in Iraq, next to the Americans and the British. And these are mercenaries. They are largely, almost wholly, ex-South African security forces, apartheid forces, those who belong to the death squads and other organizations. This is a fact. Between 5 and 10,000 South Africans. And we in the anti-war movement have been agitating and mobilizing people against this outrage. And the government has only now, because of tremendous pressure put on them, amended a law which is called the Foreign Military Assistance Act, that makes it more difficult for these transnational so-called security outfits to recruit South Africans. And in a sense, it's a bit of a cheap labor, because the South African, white South African mercenaries are a bit cheaper than the British, Canadian, Australian, American mercenaries. There was this incident recently in South Africa. Some of you know that Thatcher's son, Mark Thatcher, was implicated and found guilty. And there was a plea bargain, which we were quite angry about, and he managed to leave the country. He was fined because he was very involved in this attempt at a coup in Equatorial Guinea. I think you might have read about it. Of course, many of us say blame the parents. But anyway, so this is a fact, and so I'm not surprised if one of the torturers of Steve Biko is part of this mercenary outfit. As far as Hamas and Fatah, I think it's better if Palestinians here speak about that, but it is a fact. Whatever the specific things are, and it's possible that what you are saying might have some truth in it, but the conditions there, the completely horrible sanctions against the Palestinians, the fact that tens of thousands of public servants have not been paid for so many months, this is a stain on the international community. Mm-hmm. That has pressurized the Palestinians on top of the sonic booms that prevent sleep and the trauma of children, the continual assassinations and the checkpoints, the sealing off the borders, and many other things that contribute to this tension in Palestinian life. And this is exactly what the carriers of misery and the warmongers and the racists want, for Palestinian society to turn on itself. And it's only a matter of time that this will happen. And it's incredible that despite this pressure, It is only now there have been tensions and people have been killed in internecine conflict in the past, but it is becoming worse. And it is only if the international solidarity movement allows this campaign to develop and has this international movement, will that pressure be lifted. But I'm afraid if we fail to redouble our energies around the world, this tension and this